But empiricism is a very popular, in this day and age, a very popular form of epistemology, because empiricism comes from naturalism. Okay, since the world is only observable things, physical things, then I'm only going to believe what I see with my eyes. Okay, that's the study of knowledge. The third part of a worldview is ethics. Ethics, morals. This is a big one. Okay, ethics, the study of morals and values. Are there moral absolutes? Are there? What do you think? Yes. How do you know that? Okay. As a Christian, how do you know that? Well, by the end of the course, you'll be able to answer that, how you know it, in many different ways, and how you know what you know. Are there moral absolutes? Yes. How do we determine what's right and wrong? Where does that come from? People say that are naturalists, they say it comes from culture. A boy believes certain things are right or wrong based upon how he was raised growing up. How do we think we come to know ethics, rights, and wrongs? Well, the Bible says that they're already revealed to us in our heart. We're born with a sense of morals. Evolution can't explain that. We're all born with the basic same set of morals, guys. You basically know loving mom is good. You know that torturing babies for fun is wrong, don't you? There's not a culture on the world that tortures babies for fun and says, huh, this is my view of morals. I think it's okay to do that. No culture would survive. The basics of ethics and morals are basically the same all over the world. There's not one culture that ever lived that had a completely, totally different set of morals. They interlap, they may have some beliefs that are weird, but they believe that's right for a certain reason. They don't do it because they think wrong is good. They think it's right. That's why they do wrong. But basically, man has the same set of morals. And by the way, that points to a creator. Because God gave us those. And without those, we would not be able to determine anything. God gave us the ability to have thought. Without it, we would not be here. Without the ability to reason, going to school is meaningless, and the professor shouldn't be up there saying, we can't know anything for sure. He might as well be saying, because it means the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? He can go, say the same thing. As a professor years ago, he wrote a book. It was called this, Is There a Text in the Class? Is there a text in the class? And this is what his premise in the book was. He said, if you get a text, for instance, the Bible, and you get 35 people in the room, to all read the Bible, there will be 35 different interpretations of that book. Therefore, there are 35 different meanings to that book. And therefore, reality is based on your interpretation of things. It's interesting. I'd like to talk to that professor and say, hey, I've read your book. Oh, really? Yes. And I'm really happy to hear that you believe in Jesus Christ. What do you mean I don't believe in Jesus? Well, of course you do. That's the way I interpreted your book. That Jesus Christ is the only way to God and you got to come through Him to get saved? Thank you, brother. God bless you. You know, because that's the way I interpret your text. Did He write it to be interpreted that way? No. He wrote it to be understood His way. That there's as many truths as there are interpretations. But the fact of the matter is, He wanted you to read it and get one. His. Right? So He's not consistent. His worldview is not consistent. It falls apart. Is there a text in the class? Yes. Doctor, it's yours, and you want me to think this way about it, and you want all 35 people to think that way about it too. See, he's contradicting himself. Professing to be wise, he becomes foolish. Okay? So, ethics, morals, what's right and wrong. Those are the three areas in a worldview. Now, in addition to that, there are three major worldviews. Three major worldviews, okay? The first one is theism. Theism. Theism is the belief that there is something beyond the natural world. There's more to life than just the things that we see. There are gods or God or many gods beyond this natural world. And that belief is broken up into many parts, and we're going to deal with a few of them here. The first one is deism. Deism. Okay, deism is the belief that there is a God, but He is separate from and distinct from His creation. There are not many deists left on the earth. Deism emphasizes transcendence. In other words, God created the world and just kind of left it alone. That's a deist. Thomas Jefferson was a deist, by the way. He took his Bible and he cut out all the miracles in it. He just snipped them out because he didn't believe them. So he had a great moral guide, but his view of metaphysics or what is real, you know, was pretty messed up. He didn't believe in any of the miracles, and he took scissors to his Bible. Can you imagine? Getting the Thomas Jefferson Bible. I mean, it'd be about that big. You know, it'd be all moral, do this, don't do that. Because he believed that God was completely and totally detached from the world. Deism.
Just throwing the whole thing away because the idea Calvinism wrote with all the complete morals in it, because of Aristotle himself.
Oh yeah, and not only that, but why would those? What reason do I have to believe that those morals are true, if there's not a transcendent God who is actually still involved with His creation? That's a miracle in itself. Exactly. The second one is polytheism. We all know what this one is. Polytheism, belief in many gods. The belief in many gods, Roman pantheon of gods, Zeus and you know, I don't know very many of them. Some of you may know. I wasn't paying attention in school when they taught that. You know, kind of silly now. You know, we look at it and we laugh. You know, there was this group of gods. We often think of polytheism is for the most part a thing of the past, but it has returned in another form. And guess where its home is? U.S. of A. We are the capital of polytheism. Let me show you what I mean. 92% of Americans say they believe in God. You know that? 92%. That sounds like a good thing. It's not. It's a terrible thing. But the question is, what kind of God? What kind of God is He? When someone says they believe in God, then I must ask the question, well, what is your God like? What kind of God do you believe in? What kind of God is it that America believes in? Well, the interesting thing is there are as many gods as there are Americans almost. Well, my God. So He has His own personal God. And that has even crept its way into the church. Well, my Jesus, not the historical Jesus of Nazareth, but my Jesus, see. My Jesus would never do this or that. Well, my Jesus isn't that way. Well, I have my own convictions about Jesus. Well, then you have your own Jesus. And you don't believe in the historical Jesus of Nazareth. Because the real Jesus of Nazareth said things and felt things and is real and is still alive. Okay? The real Jesus of Nazareth is not your Jesus of Nazareth. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I submit to Him. He's not a statue on my shelf. He's not an idol that I take out when I want to and apply my own thoughts to. He has thoughts and He has a will and I submit to those. Okay? That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But America has adopted, have you noticed, guys? Have you noticed on TV all these different opinions about my God and the way my God is? And it's just so, it's polytheism. We believe in many gods, all kinds of different gods, however you want to interpret God. And what did the historical Jesus say? Is anyone actually concerned with His words? Did anybody really want to know what Jesus had to say? Well, no, because, well, my... Yeah. In other words, there's a God for you, there's a God for me. See? In other words, I'm interpreting... God based on my own opinion, so there's many of them. You have your own concept of Him, and if you were to draw Him, He'd be different, and mine would be different. And America's accepting that that's okay. Right. Those are our gods too. Possessions can be your God. Very, very true. Very true. Exactly. That's why it's a polytheistic culture. Because covetousness is idolatry, right? So we all have our own... Atheists have gods. I mean, they themselves, they're their own god. They make their own reality. An atheist is like an ant on an anthill in Africa looking around and going, ah, there's no such thing as the USA. I don't believe in it. I like to tell an atheist, have you ever been to the core of the sun? Maybe God lives there. Maybe He's in Borneo. You ever been to Borneo? I haven't. Maybe God lives in Borneo. You know? Which is more rational? To believe that there is no God or to believe that there is? It's more rational to believe that there is. Let me give you an example. Okay, let's say... Oh, man, I better draw Texas. I was going to draw California, you guys. I am so sorry. And I'm going to do a very bad job of drawing Texas. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, there we go. Okay. Two people. One guy wants to prove that there's no gold in Texas. Guy number two wants to prove that there is gold in Texas. Who has the easier job? What's that? Why? Okay, but let's say we don't know for sure if there is. Yeah, let's say they're both in Texas. Who has the easier job? The second one, good. But why? Why does he have the easier job? Okay, but let's say we don't know. He just wants to prove it. Very good. What's that? They're rocks, and there's a lot of rocks here. Okay. Well, let me tell you why. The second guy has to do is find one piece of gold. That's it. He doesn't have to search all of Texas. He has to search maybe just this far. Oh, I found some gold. Okay, he proved it. The other guy has to search all of Texas, the whole state, and prove that he didn't find 1 ounce of gold in any dirt anywhere. Okay, now let's apply this on a larger scale. There is a God. There is no God. Which is easier to prove? That there is a God. Because I don't have to prove everything about him. I just have to prove that he has shown himself to me in some way, or he has shown himself to the world in some small way. That's enough. There is a God. An atheist has to prove that he's been everywhere in the whole universe and never seen God. And not only that, he would have to be God, because he'd have to be everywhere at once and see everything. He'd have to be in the core of the sun and in Borneo at the same time. And if that was the case, he would be God. See? So the proof, the premise that there is no God is much harder to come by. And there are way more problems with it than that, but that's one of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that comes back to his presupposition. He knows in his heart of hearts that there is a God. Does that make sense? Is that helping? Okay. Polytheism. The thing about American polytheism is the fact that we can no longer assume a common language when people say Jesus or God or the Spirit. We can no longer say, I know what they're talking about. We're beginning to develop American polytheistic culture. Polytheism is very relevant, okay? There's a third theistic view. It's called monotheism. Monotheism. There is one God, and he is immanent. He is present and active with his creation, although he is not limited by it. He has a will, and he is a person. That's monotheism, okay? One God, he is a person. He's immanent, which means he's around, okay? He's involved with his creation, but he's separate from it. All right, we fit in this category, monotheism. The three religions or worldviews that believe that way are Islam, Muhammad the prophet united the Arab clans by receiving special revelation from Allah and writing it in the book he called it the Quran. Muhammad lived from 560 to 632 AD. This guy united the clan because he received some vision from God. He wrote it in a book, and that is Islam. It was from one man named Elijah Muhammad. It was just his writings. The second monotheistic religion is Judaism. Judaism is the teachings of the Old Testament and the Talmud, as well as something called the Responsa, which is a collection of rabbinical teachings. Today, Judaism stops short of believing that Jesus is God. And I might offend some of you, but it's a false religion. Okay? It's a false religion. And you know, I have all this respect in the world. Jews are God's chosen people. But it's a false religion. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe in a special revelation. The third is Christianity. The Christianity is the incarnation. That is the hallmark. That's what sets it apart from anything else. We believe that God came down and showed himself to man in the form of Jesus Christ. That is Christianity. God gave us a special revelation, showed us who he was. He didn't make us wonder. He showed us where the gold was. He came in the form of a man and said, here I am, this is God, watch me live, hear my words, because this is the heart of God. And he showed man through his incarnation who he was. Okay? God was made man and dwelt among us. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Monotheism is always, by the rest of the world, claimed to be very, very exclusive and intolerant. We are not tolerant of other people's views. And it's a tempting thought to think that way. Maybe we are very exclusive and intolerant. But like we said before, truth must be intolerant. Okay? The interesting thing about our culture is that it is a tolerant culture. Very tolerant. We're tolerant of everything. We're so tolerant that sin runs rampant in our country because that's our worldview. The highest value is tolerance. That should not be the highest value in life. Because tolerance is not the highest value. It should be a very low value because truth comes before tolerance. Okay? I would not tolerate someone trying to hurt my family. I'm not going to tolerate that because it's wrong. Okay? So a culture that's void of morals, void of God, of knowledge, it's naturalistic, becomes tolerant, because it's the only way to get along. There's no reason to get along. And so tolerance, the highest value in life is to be tolerant of one another. Look at this. People that are tolerant of all worldviews are intolerant of intolerance. You get that? They're intolerant of intolerance. In other words, according to their worldview, they should be intolerant of themselves. They should not tolerate themselves, because they themselves are intolerant of intolerance. You get it? deep. Come on, how deep is this fun? You'll get it. Okay, you'll get better and better at it as we go through them. And at the end is when it's going to make sense. That's when we do the examples. Oh yeah, that's a huge contradiction. Huge contradiction. Because again, yeah, they're pro-life and they kill someone, right? If truth is true, then there's nothing wrong with it being exclusive. It's just the truth. That's truth. Truth is exclusive. A truthful statement must be exclusive. There's no such thing as inclusive truth. Truth can't be true and false at the same time. It must always just be true. All right? My shirt is, I don't know, it's blue. Okay? It's blue. It's not red. It's blue. Okay? There's no other color that it's going to be unless I dye it. Yes?
It'd be truthful to say that Judaism is impossible rather than false.
Well, Judaism is, I would say Judaism is a false religion. And the reason why is because they're waiting for their Messiah to come, and he's never come. The Old Testament is only a small part of Judaism, and the Old Testament is true. See what I mean? All of the Old Testament is true. But what Judaism is today, it's different than when it was in Jesus' time. It's completely different. What's that? Yeah, it's an offshoot. It's an offshoot of Judaism. But, you know, that's a good question, because Judaism today is different. See, it's taken on a different flavor. There's people that are rabbis that are atheists today, and they don't even believe that there's a God, and they're atheistic and they're naturalists, they're humanists. But they read the Old Testament and they do the prayers. And I mean, believe me, I love Jewish culture. That's the roots of my faith, is the Jewish culture. But it has changed now. See, it's not the Judaism of the time of Jesus. It's completely changed. So I would say, Judaism is a false religion, what we see today of Judaism. Now, I still appreciate the roots of Judaism, and that's what the gospel came through, is through what God gave to the Jews. But when the Messiah come, he fulfilled the law. So we're no longer under the schoolmaster, but they still are. They don't need to be. They can't be saved. And they're thinking that following that system is going to make them saved. See? Does that make sense? You know?
People follow the words of God without knowing the
form of
the Son. Right. And there's some Jews in that Revelation group that think that they will be saved if they follow
this
law without knowing. They follow Christ without knowing Christ.
Right. So, to be Jewish is a great thing. I mean, there's Christian Jews today that are Jewish. I mean, you ever been to a Saturday Christian completed Jew service. It's wonderful. They carry around the Torah, they sing the praises, but they have answers to their questions, see. Jesus is come, he's the Christ. They're completed, and they still celebrate Jewish things. Jesus was very Jewish. The apostles were very Jewish. Very, very Jewish. They went to the temple. You know, they participated in the ceremonies, but they understood what that meant. But Judaism today is not the same. It's not the same anymore. It's changed. The Old Testament is one of many things that they look to. For what they believe, and they're not even in agreement themselves, you know. See, the question is what they believe true, and the answer is no.
There's also the problem of them doing exactly what Jesus said. They're living in the whitewashed tombs, which are many bones inside, appearing to do what is good, but really mean what is wrong. The church itself corrupting from within,
right?
Telling people to do one thing and then not doing the same thing, and then they give it damage.
Grace and truth are in Jesus Christ. Right. They reject Christ. But I mean, in the end, there's going to be a remnant of Jews that are saved. There's still hope for them. They're still God's chosen people. But they're caught up now in a false religious system. I mean, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's why there's missionaries in Israel. They're not very successful right now, but there are missionaries in Israel. There's a Calvary Chapel in Jerusalem. It has like 3 or 4 members. And that's it. It's illegal to preach on the streets. You get stoned if you preach. I mean, people start throwing rocks at you. I was in Israel, they're very, very rigorous, you know, according to the law. And Paul says they do have zeal. Paul says, I will give them that. They have a zeal for God. Oh, no. That's the national religion.